Tonight I want to look at an area that I know that we're familiar with, and probably we think we know it. But it's an area that I really don't think that we have a good grasp when it comes to relationships with one another and relationships with the Lord. I think we're more prone to look to what we do as far as our acceptance rather than looking to who we are. We are accepted, as we all know, in the Beloved. It gets right back to the area of law and grace, our relationship. What is it based upon? It's very easy for us to accept each other on the basis of what we do, and to deal with one another on the basis of what we do rather than in love and grace. God has dealt with us in grace, and what does that mean? If you've gone through Romans and you've looked at chapter 7 lately, there's some startling words that speak to us, and we need understanding in it. The difference between law and grace. I just put out a few things. If you have anything to add here as we go along, do it. I want to list them first before I go into Romans 7. You can turn to Romans 7. Law. These are the words that come to me. These are the words that I see in the Scripture. Obedience. Sin. Death. Condemnation. That's what law brings. Law does not bring life. Now, what is law? Because a lot of times we say, well, I'm free from it, and yet it has a lot to do with our relationship with one another, how we deal with one another, whether we deal with each other as God deals with us on the basis of grace and what that really means, or do we deal with each other on the basis of law? Too often we feel that God has done away with the law. God has not done away with the law. The law has been fulfilled. Faith establishes the law. So when we walk in faith, and that's one of the things. On the other side of the thing, we're talking about love, mercy, peace. These are words that are all associated with this new relationship with Christ. Spirit. Holy Spirit, faith, grace, obedience, life, sonship. Now, there's only one word that is common with law, and that's obedience. But your obedience under the law cannot bring righteousness. The law has been given to condemn us, to reveal sin. The law is holy, and we need to realize that. But the question is, what do we do with this law? Now, let me read so we can get some grasp of what Paul is saying in Romans here in 7. Reading from verse 1, I'm reading from the Phillips translation. You know very well, my brothers, that I am speaking to those well acquainted with the subject, that the law can only exercise authority over a man as long as he is alive. A married woman, for example, is bound by law to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, then his legal claim over her disappears. This means that if she should give herself to another man while her husband is alive, she incurs the stigma of adultery. But if, after her husband's death, she does exactly the same thing, no one could call her an adulteress, for the legal hold over her has been dissolved by her husband's death. There is, I think, a fair analogy here. The death of Christ on the cross has made you dead to the claims of the law. You're free to give yourself in marriage, so to speak, to another, the one who is raised from the dead, that you may be productive for God. In other words, it's our relationship now with Christ that is going to really produce that which glorifies God. And it has to come out of this personal relationship that we were talking about last week. Now, while we were in the flesh, the law stimulated our sinful passions and so worked in our nature that we became productive for death. But now that we stand clear of the law, the claims which existed are dissolved by our death, and we are free to serve God, not in the old obedience of the letter of the law, but in a new way in the Spirit. Now, of course, I think most of us realize that we're talking about the new way as the new covenant that God has brought. We've moved into a higher law. Now, this law here meets every demand of God's law. Do you realize that? We're not under law. We're not doing things to be received or accepted by God. We have been accepted by God because of Jesus Christ. But now, moving under the higher law of life in the Spirit, or the new life that He has given to us in the Spirit, the demands of God are the same. See, because the law is holy. There's nothing wrong with the demands of the law. The only thing was, man, separate from God, could not fulfill those demands. The law was given for one thing, to reveal sin. And that's what it did. It brought condemnation. Now, how many times, and I say it's very subtle, and that's why we need an understanding of this, and not to just dwell on it, but to, as we receive the understanding, that we go on to move under the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Other words, our relationship will be more on what we do, and our relationship, as far as pointing out error in our brothers and sisters, will be on a legal basis rather than in the spirit of love. We're joined together in love. We're joined together because we have the same life. We are in the same family. Now, this may seem to you that it doesn't really have a bearing on this, but the question is, and we'll read it on down here as we go on, who you yield your members to, those you're the servants of. Whether you yield yourself now to sin, or whether you yield yourself to God. That's where you're going to produce the thing. Yes, God has sent Jesus Christ and freed us from the law, but He has brought us under a higher law. And do we really realize that? We're under the law of grace, under the law of love, under the law of an endless life in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit that's come to abide within us. And this must affect, I say it must affect, not that we're trying in our own efforts, but this must affect our relationship and how we look at one another, how we deal with one another. Because if it doesn't, we will revert back to the law. And a lot of people say, well, I'm under grace. That excuses me. No, no. Grace doesn't excuse you. That's why I say we need an understanding here. If somebody enters into sin, which is against one of the commandments, it tells us very clearly that the one that is led by the Spirit, the one that is moving in life, will meet the righteous demands of the law. In other words, the law is holy. Man could not meet it separate from God. God now comes to work in us and give us the ability that we did not have. Now giving us the ability to do what? Respond to Him and do what is right. So even though we may be, as this seventh chapter says, the woman, she's freed from her relationship when there is death. Now, we can look at the situation and say, well, we died in Christ, so we're freed from the law. So the law no more has a dominion over us. But if we're led by the Spirit, we will fulfill the righteous demands of the law. You can't lay the law aside, and that's what a lot of people have tried to do. Lay the law aside. The law cannot be laid aside. Remember what I said. The law is holy. We are not under the law. We're under a higher law, which fulfills in each one of us the righteous demands of God. We need to really know that, so that we will not take and put people under bondage, but we will realize that if they are moving by the Spirit, that they will fulfill, they will obey those things that are of the Spirit. Obedience is very important in sonship, as a son. Even he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And we're going to learn obedience. Now, maybe this doesn't come down to a practical working out at the moment in your life, but you'll find out in your relationship whether you're looking at each other through the eyes of grace or whether you're looking at each other through the eyes of law. What we do. When we do something wrong, how do we deal with each other? When something is not according to God's Word, how do we affect it in our relationship? Do we leave it alone? Do we go in love? Or does love not go? Of course, we know that love went. Love came. We're talking about the love in its fullest expression when God sent His Son. We're talking about God gave. He came. He did something and dealt with sin. And that's what the law actually reveals. It reveals sin. Sin is when we yield our members to things that are unlawful. Really, it's outside of a relationship with God. In other words, you can't be in a relationship with God and yield your members to the world. You're dead. Those passions have died. You're alive in God. Now, he tells us, Paul tells us in Romans there, if you read it 5, 6, and 7, you go on through it. Let me just one thing here. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. We're able. We couldn't before. Now in the new life of the Spirit, we can. Now how do we look at it? How do we look at each other? Because we've got to have a spiritual relationship. We know that. The words we know. But what does that mean? What happens when a brother or sister sins, yields their members to sin? How do we deal with it? Do we deal with it as God would deal with it? How do we deal with it? Do we deal with it according to law? Or do we deal with it according to grace? What's the difference? Is grace a higher law, more demanding than even the law that is written on the tablets of stone? Huh? Because the ability has been given by God to accomplish everything that God demands. Well, that's what it's all about. In other words, God's ability. Now, He has given that to each one of us individually so that we can do what is required. It's not separate from Him. It's in union with Him. So He is not removed the holy demands of God. Those have not been removed. Even though God sent Jesus Christ and He fulfilled the demands of the law. In other words, He went to the cross and dealt with sin, and dealt with the law. The law was separated and condemned. But He gave us something higher. That's going to bring us to a greater place of not only acceptance, but a greater place of relationship in God, a greater place of fellowship with God and with each other. And if we're only satisfied with the natural area, and we will not press on in, because this is a place of being diligent with these areas. You cannot just take and go along and not be diligent and press. Love presses. Love doesn't sit back. And love is never passive. Just put it that way. Mm-hmm. Now we're not taking and saying, okay, love always does this. Love is under the direction of the Holy Spirit. We move as the Spirit moves. You say, how do I know when He's moving? If He's within you, you ought to know when He's moving. That's one of the big questions that we always have. How do I know when the Spirit is moving? How can I know that I'm being led by the Spirit? Well, if you don't know, you need to ask God and need to get down to business with God and say, Lord, show me what it really means to be led by the Spirit so that I can know. Because nobody else can tell you. There's no theology that can give you how you can be led by God. But only as you're led are you free. Only as you're obedient to the Spirit of God, only as you are in subjection to the authority of Christ, are you free. And that's free from sin, free from your own self, free from your own passions. Because as you look at the Scriptures, you'll see that if you've been crucified in Christ, those have been dealt with. Those passions have been dealt with. Now, the thing is, we've got to walk in the Spirit. And that's where the difficulty comes. That's where we ask questions. That's where we don't quite understand. But we need to move on in. We need to get understanding. God doesn't want us to be without understanding. I think so many times we put off. We go on for months and years, literally. We don't have a good grasp in this area. God wants us in Christ Jesus to know what this is all about. In other words, if we are sons and we are growing and we are maturing, don't you think that we are coming to a place of responsibility? You can't come to a place of responsibility without having knowledge. We're talking about spiritual knowledge now. We're not talking about natural knowledge. This is all now, when we move from the law to grace, from the law to the Spirit, we're talking about a completely different creation, God's creation, the one new man that we've been talking about. And you can see that all of these things come into play. Love, mercy, peace. Now those are expressions in relationship. You don't need mercy. You don't need to show mercy unless we're talking about somebody else, right? We need to have peace with God. We also need to have peace with one another. There needs to be an area, an expression in each one of our hearts that we are at peace with one another. Because if we're not, then sooner or later, these areas will come out. And it's all, if we're looking at it the wrong way, if we're not looking at it the way God looks at it. And that doesn't mean, as I've already said, mercy does not cover up. Mercy does not forget about things and just go on. God deals with us. And we need to be long-suffering with one another. Another word that comes in, right? Long-suffering with one another. Not quick to condemn or point our fingers. Have we walked in that other person's shoes, as a number of writers have said? Until you do, then you don't know how they're thinking. You don't know what's in their mind unless you're God, and you're not God, and I'm not God. So there's areas that we do not know. Right? Amen. There's areas that we don't know about each other. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to go on and mature in our fellowship with one another, but there's areas that we cannot know. And if we draw conclusions which are absolute, according to the law, immediately what we do? We raise a wall as far as our fellowship is concerned. Right? Amen. And that we cannot do that. There comes a place, that we may have to draw the line. When sin has come in and sin has taken control and is actually controlling a person's life, then there's a break in fellowship. Sin has already brought the break, but I mean, as far as you're working with it, how do we deal with each other if sin does enter into a brother or sister? Or they slip or are somehow into something that's sinful. What do we do? How do we deal with it? What are we looking for in another person when they do? When they do slip and they're in sin. Because sin automatically breaks fellowship. Breaks fellowship with God, it breaks fellowship with each other. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we deal with it? That's the question. Because we're now in a completely different realm. We're over here in the realm of love, mercy, and peace. Now, how do we deal with these areas?
Look for repentance in your heart.
Right. How does God bring us to repentance? Come on, quick. You all know this.
Does godly sorrow lead us to repentance?
No, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. All right. Now, how do we? Because we are a member. And he says, those that are spiritual, restore. Why do we have to be spiritual to restore when somebody moves into this? In other words, we've got to be mature enough to where we do not hold on the account of somebody else, because grace is already taken and washed the slate clean, right? Now, that doesn't mean he's washed the slate clean on that person that's in sin. But the question is, you cannot. You've got to be so dealt with by God that you don't hold that in your mind. That forgiveness must forgive. And it must allow us to deal with these areas to where fellowship is restored in its purest form. Right? These areas are difficult because we make them difficult. As you know yourself, there's certain things that we can know that God has forgiven us, but a lot of times we won't forgive ourselves. We won't forgive ourselves. We will continue to think on it, continue to think, wonder why we fail, why we stumble. Well, it's very clear why any of us stumble. I can tell you, if I stumble a long way, I can tell you why. My relationship with God has grown cold somewhere along the way, and I've allowed to become weak in areas, and I have allowed this to come in. God is able to keep each one of us. Mm-hmm. We need to have that confidence.
Yeah.
And we need to have that confidence with each other in our relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. Other words, we will do as the scripture says. We will bite and devour one another even in trying to help one another. You realize that?
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Yeah.
I find that one of the best things we need to do is get down real low. You know, right underneath the rug. And this is not really what we like to do. But if we're going to help somebody, that's the place to come, right? Real low and come down and encourage them in love and let the goodness of God flow through you, because that's the expression that's going to bring anybody, because they know what they've done. They know that the separation has come. They need help, and we are the means to help them. We can't help them if we have wrong attitudes. And our attitudes are affected in this area of law and grace. It can mean that we think that we're better than them, that they shouldn't have fallen, but they did fall. Now what are you going to do? Cross them off? But in what the scripture says to do, as far as this area, in other words, if you sin a sin that's not unto death, what do? You start to pray, first thing. And then the spiritual ones go to them. And that doesn't mean that it always has to be some elder or our minister that's going, but brothers and sisters, do we have a care for one another? How long will we allow it to go on when fellowship is not where we know it should be? And then another thing, what are we governing that fellowship on? Are we enjoying and giving God a place to work? Or have we set our own standard or our own law and what we expect out of each other as far as fellowship is concerned? Another rough area. Right?
But isn't it that most of the time that's what we do?
Yeah. That's why I'm bringing it out. That's why we set a standard up here, and if people don't come up to that standard, then we break fellowship. And it isn't that we do it in a legal manner. It's just that our spirit withdraws, and there's not that openness towards each other. There's got to be a free flowing of the life of God between each one of us in the working of God. So the acceptance has got to be because we're in Christ. And if there is failures, we must deal with them as the Spirit of God will work in and through us to show the goodness of God, right? Yeah, you're not going to get anywhere by condemning. That doesn't give anybody the power to do anything, right? And then the next thing I think we need to be very mindful of, that we need to be sensitive. We need to be sensitive to the needs of each other. The spiritual needs. I'm not talking about the natural needs. I think that we will take care of the natural needs if we're moving in the Spirit of God. Don't you? We cannot focus on our natural needs because all of our needs are met in the spiritual realm. When our spiritual relationship with God is right and our spiritual relationship with each other is right, all of the other needs will be met. So even though there are needs, and I'm not saying they're not, I'm just saying they're not, if we move on that level, we will not get into the spiritual realm and meet the needs where they really need to be met. There may be natural needs. When I say natural, the needs of this world. You may need food. You may need raiment on your back. You may need a place to stay. You may need acceptance. All of these things here. But this can all be taken care of. But if we move in the natural only and just look at these, then you'll see what we become. There's plenty of organizations today that's all they do. They're what they call them in some of these foreign countries, they call them the ones that bring the rice, and they're rice babies. And when they cut the rice off, well, they go somewhere else where they can get the rice from somebody else. In other words, they're led by the natural desires. Our whole means of fellowship must be on the spiritual, and then these needs, not taking away from them, they will be met, and they will be met through us and others that may come in to meet those needs. Do we understand that? First need is spiritual. What did I say?
No.
Nothing. All right, just go on to Romans here, of some of the ones that we're familiar with here, but just read them again. I'm still reading from Phillips. Romans 8, let's go to that. No condemnation now hangs over the head of those who are in Christ Jesus. Here is the secret. In. Those that are in, those that are in union with Christ, there is no condemnation. There's no such thing as condemnation under grace, is there? Huh? I can't find it in the New Testament, and I didn't list it in those words that I listed there at the beginning, because I couldn't find it. There's no condemnation. In other words, condemnation comes because of law, and that now. In Christ Jesus, in union with Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. For the new spiritual principle of life in Christ Jesus lifts me out of the old vicarious circle of sin and death. Sets me free. Lifts me out of its power. I can't be reached by this unless I come down to a lower level. God's called us to live in a new place, a new relationship. Let's call it that, because that's what it is. The law never succeeded in producing righteousness. The failure was all because of the weakness of human nature. But God met this by sending His own Son, Jesus Christ, to live in that human nature which caused the trouble. And while Christ was actually taken upon Himself the sins of men, God condemned that sinful nature so that we are able to meet the law's requirements. Didn't do away with it, did He? He fulfilled it. And now in Christ Jesus, with life, we are able to meet the holy requirements of the law. So long as we are living no longer by the dictates of our sinful nature, but in obedience to the prompting of the Spirit. That's where your obedience comes in underneath sonship. It's an obedience of faith. It's in direct response to God. That's why last week we spoke about how important it is, the personal relationship with Christ. That's what faith is all about. I am responding to God. I cannot. He is the author and finisher of each one of our faiths. If there's faith in any degree, He begun it in you, and He will finish it in you. If we're moving in grace, we're moving by faith. We are partakers of grace by faith. We're active. We cannot be passive. This is not something that puts us in a place to where we just drift along. This puts us in a very active place. Our whole being active. Thirsting for God. Reaching out to God in every area. Now, as we take steps and in our personal relationship, as we're walking with the Lord, this will grow. Because, as we said last week, there's something through obedience that starts to motivate us. It's the love of God that starts to reach down and show us. It starts to press us on. I want to know Him. Paul said, that I may know Him in the power. He'd already known Him in the power of His resurrection. He wanted to know more. He wanted to know more of what this means. And of course, if we never come to this place, we'll never cry out, oh, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. Paul even wanted to know Him in His sufferings. He wanted to experience. He saw more than sometimes what we see. And those things sound very foolish to us sometimes, to know Him in His suffering. But to know Him in the power of His resurrection. To know Him in every situation, because we're going to know Him in the situations that are hard. It's the quickening power of the Holy Spirit that makes us alive, that gives us ability that we do not have in our natural separated state. And when I say separated, I'm talking about being separated from our union. When we come in union with Christ, we have full provisions. Glory. Go ahead, Shep. That's not enough. If you really saw it, man, you couldn't be quiet. If you really saw what God has done for us. I don't say that just to be, you know, to tickle our funny bones or anything to in these areas, but we need to rejoice because we see what God has done. If we're going to move in faith, we're going to have to start giving God the glory. Because we see the goal. Faith sees what God is saying. And it moves in obedience. In every what degree that is. Don't try to measure up to anybody else. That's one of our biggest troubles. We're trying to measure up and trying to be like each other. It's Jesus that we want to be like. Not like each other. So what am I doing? I want to know Him. In my situation, your situation, you want to know Him. You want to experience. You want to reach out and know Him in that. And you want to know Him not only in the power to go through it, you want to know Him in the power to, in the midst of the hardest place, to be able to love and be what He was. Reaching out to others and as He was on the cross even. Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. That's the hard place, we think. But if we are exercised by God, we're able to do that. Now, we're not going to be hanging up on the cross like He was at that point, but there's other hard places that we go through, and can we say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Because there's going to be those that will shoot arrows, those that will try to destroy you, those that don't like you. Now, you don't have to get a persecution complex about it. But it's going to happen. If they persecuted Him, if they hated Him, they're going to hate you. And in the midst of it all, you can say, Father, forgive them. That is, if it's genuine. No sense in saying that if it's not genuine.
What I said, the Lord want to take us to the hard places.
Amen.
And when He takes us to the hard places, that's where we're going to know Him.
That's right.
Then we're going to come out shouting. I said, in the midst of the trials that people went through, different people, different person, it was there that found God. And the source of that, they came out rejoicing. Songs were born. God make Himself real in the midst of the hard trials. And I said, if we're going to know Him, God will have to take us down there in the midst of the hard trials, where we see Him at the finished end, like Paul saw Him. He knew He wasn't looking at the right nor at the left. He wasn't looking at those who were coming behind. His eyes were on Him.
Amen.
And when He got there, He said, Timothy, when He get to the end, He didn't guess in or think in or hope in. He said, Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course.
He had that assurance.
And I have kept the faith. I said, He was moving with purpose, with assurance. Mm-hmm. God, because He saw Him,
mm-hmm.
the goal. And I said, that's where we all run. I said, in the Olympics, there are few qualified for the final. But I said, brothers and sisters, all of us are running in the race.
Yeah,
there's not one.
He qualifies.
Amen. I said, there's not one going to come to the finish line. I said, there are three prizes that finish. Gold, silver, bronze. But I said, in Christ, each one God wants to bring to the finish line with a finished work. These are what I have done. When Christ presents us to His Father, mm-hmm. this is what I have done. I said, it will be glorious. The finished product. I said, for all that men are doing, building automobiles, I said, it's one thing. I said, it's the most horrible thing to look at a piece of dirty steel. But I said, it's one thing they had to hire when the finished product is there. Yes, we have made it. And I said, that's what Christ is doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Finish it, doing the work. And I said, it's going to be Him who will do it in your life. Nothing else. Nobody else. Come on.
But that's going to entail us moving in faith.
Amen.
It's entailing seeking God in those times.
Yes. We're going to be still before God, but I find that God initiates everything. Even when we are waiting still,
Amen.
It is God that initiates. We don't take and wait before God, and we cause Him to reveal something to us. We just have to be still enough to where He can speak to our hearts. But we definitely need to be moving in faith. And that means that we're moving in direct response in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's in love. That's by grace. That's because of His mercy.
Yes.
We should have a peace in our hearts about it. If we don't, then that's why we have these areas of feeling condemned. And we don't feel that we are pleasing the Lord. We got to know that we're pleasing the Lord because we are responding to Him.
Amen.
And we've got to take time. To know that, we've got to take time in a relationship with Him. As you know, in a relationship with each other, we have to take time too, right?
Right.
If you don't take time, you're not going to have no relationship. It costs you time. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, nice to see you, how you doing, praise the Lord, God bless you.
Goodbye.
And then away you go. No.
Yeah.
That isn't what God wants. You're going to have to come to a standstill, and we're going to have to start to enjoy. In other words, does God enjoy having you come into His presence and know Him and know the union? Does He enjoy this as your Heavenly Father? How much more should we enjoy the working out of what God is doing in each other? How can we be helpful and move in the right spirit unless we do enjoy it? Glory. Let me go on to read in the 9th verse of the 8th chapter here of Romans. But you're not carnal, but spiritual, if the Spirit of God finds a home within you. You cannot indeed be a Christian at all unless you have something of the Spirit in you. Now, if Christ does live within you, His presence means that your sinful nature is dead. But your spirit becomes alive because of the righteousness he brings with him. Glory. Tremendous truth. Your sinful nature, that which made you sin, you were dead. You couldn't do anything but sin. Now he's come, he brought life. Glory. I said that our nature is dead in the presence of Christ, and so it is, because of it, it's sin. Nevertheless, once the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives within you, he will, by the same Spirit, bring to your whole being new strength and vitality. Your whole being. Strength. Not your strength.
Yes.
Man, when you're weak, then that's when you're strong. Long as you're strong, or I'm strong and I can do something, seemingly I do it, but that's not... Paul said, in weakness I know him. And that's where we need his strength, to know him in the power of this resurrected life. So then, brother, you can see that we have no particular reason to feel grateful to our sensual nature or to live life on the level of the instincts. Indeed, that way of living leads to certain spiritual death. But if, on the other hand, you cut the nerve of your insensitive action by obeying the Spirit, you are on the way to real living or real life. Right? To cut the nerve. Our desires. I mean, we've got to come on to a place that the one thing that possesses us is to know him. One desire, to know Christ. Now, that doesn't leave out others, because that brings others into focus. Sometimes I think when we say this, we think that leaves everybody else out and I'm just a kind of by myself, me and Christ. No, that brings everything else into focus. That's why he said, Father, make them one as we are one. Man, he knew more than we knew. He knew more as far as what he's doing and what the end results. This is what God is doing for eternity. This is what he has chosen. This is his purpose. He's working it right now, and we need to start to enjoy it in a fuller measure. The question is whether we're enjoying ourselves or we're enjoying God. Any questions? Any comments? To move separate from the Spirit is to move in law. For me to be free in the life of God, I have to move by the Spirit. That's the only thing that can meet the righteous demands of God, is God himself in you, the Spirit of God. You're in union with him. Always, this has to become reality in each one of us, that I'm in union with God. The Holy Spirit has come to abide within me. I'm not trying to serve God and my own. I don't need God to help me. I need God's strength, period. We were reading this morning about, in a little book, it says something about, you know, that we need to pray to the Lord that God will help us to where we can live this life. Uh-uh. We're not living a life separate from him. We're living his life. Mm-hmm. We do not need help. You can know immediately that here's somebody that's under the law. They're needing help. I don't need help. I need to know him in the power of his resurrection. I need to know him in his union. He's my strength. I don't need something separate from him. I don't need his help. When I receive his help, then I don't have him. It's just like I want peace separate from him. There's no peace separate from him. It's in him. All right, it's the same thing in what we're talking about here. And we find ourselves many times at a place of hopelessness, we think, and we cry out, oh Lord, help me down here. The thing is, where do you think he's at?
Right here.
Right there. Do you think that we're more than conquerors, or we just haven't stopped to realize that yet and stopped to realize that he is within us? And he promised to never leave us or forsake us. We can walk out on him, but he'll never walk out on us. Glory. We need to know and grow to a place of knowledge to where we can move in a responsible way. You know yourself if you're moving in responsible ways. We don't like to really be that severe on ourselves and God, but you've got to come under the light of God's love. In other words, I've got to admit to where I'm at. In other words, I'm not going to move on. If I think I have attained, then I'll sit there and say, praise the Lord, Lord. Everybody else is wrong but me, and I'm sitting here. Just like old Elijah sitting down there. He said, Lord, I'm the only one left. There's nobody else. God said, there's 7,000 more that haven't bowed their knees to Baal. God has a people. And God wants us to move and to move on into what he is doing, to where we can start to comprehend with the other believers the fullness of this working. Not just in measure, but in fullness. Sometimes I think we're limited in our thinking. We don't think that God is going to do a complete work in us now. We don't have another time that God's doing what he's doing now. Do we realize that? There's not another time. So we need to give ourselves, and that doesn't mean that we're taken out of this world like a lot of people like to go up to the mountains and dig a hole and make a cave and live up there to themselves and wait for Jesus to come. That's not what we're talking about. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're here as a shining light in darkness to let people know by the life that we live what he's doing. By the works that we do. We've been created unto every good work. Let us walk in them. He has created us in Christ Jesus unto every good work. Every good work. Now let's walk in them. I'm not walking in good works to try to please God. I'm walking in good works because he has created those good works that I should walk in them. It's all done in union with him. And of course this brings a fullness, a greater appreciation of God, and a greater appreciation of one another. Greater place of love to be expressed. To get to know about it, see what it is. See that it passes all understanding that we're talking about. But we grow in knowledge. Christ has become that knowledge to us. And is becoming that knowledge. We have not attained. See, it's hard for us to grasp. We have not attained, and yet you press all of the ultimate to us, or on us, shall I say. Well, that's what God does. The ultimate is Christ. And the ultimate has come to abide within you. Where is he taking you? What does it all mean? He's not bringing you. He's freed you from the law. He's brought you into his banqueting table. Right? His banner over you is what?
Love.
What does that mean? He wants to give you everything that he has. It's hard for you to believe that, right? Why doesn't he do it? Because we have to be responsible. We have to be responsible. There has to be a working in each one of our lives. And I think that as you look at these areas, and particularly this area of law and grace, to really understand it properly in all areas of our lives, we're freed from law. But in being freed, we have been brought into bondage of life. We're not free no longer to do what we want to. We're freed to do his will. That's what we desire. Now we've got to walk there. We've got to keep ourselves free and in the love of God, and we've got to keep each other free, not bring each other under bondage. Because if you start looking at the law and looking at the requirements, you become legal. And law destroys. It brings condemnation. It does not foster a fellowship that is joyous, one that is blossoming, moving out, and knowing the fullness of what God has for us. So you can see, and I think possibly you can look back as I've looked back, and you see where law sometimes comes in and takes possession of our minds. We think that this is God, but it's not God. We don't know how to deal with these areas. But I think that we can see tonight that the higher law is going to meet the demands. The higher law of life in Christ Jesus is allowing us to meet the demands that we could not meet separate from Him. We couldn't keep the law, none of us can. But in Christ Jesus, we meet all of the demands. That's how different that we're talking about. Now, in our relationship, under the law, we can't please anybody. We can't please each other. But in grace, you'd be surprised what we can do in our relationship with one another. We can please one another. Because we're not looking at each other through the eyes of the legal demands. We're looking at each other through love. Glory?
Glory.
Anybody got anything to add? Does this area of law make any sense to you as far as your relationship? Can you see where it enters in and affects? We asked you 3 weeks ago in relationships, what do you expect? What do you expect out of each other? Well, if we've entered into a brand new realm, what do we expect? We're bound to expect something. Don't tell me you don't. Don't tell me you don't expect anything. You do expect something. You expect something from each other. What are you expecting? Something from the human, or are you expecting something from the spiritual?
Correct.
Are we able to recognize it?
You should.
Should. That's true. But that's not always the case. That's not always the case. What are we expecting? Because very, very quickly we can move out of mercy and grace and expect from each other, separate from the grace that is working in each other. We have to accept each other where we are in Christ, right? I can't change you, and you can't change me. Amen? God's got to change us, right? That's what we need to realize. That's one of the areas that causes us to move in a relationship that's free, where we're not putting demands upon each other. But yet we know that the demands of God will be met by those that are moving in the Spirit. You can't be living in sin. And, of course, we read there in Romans 7 about adultery. You can't be living in adultery if you're led by the Spirit of God. Adultery is something that we don't like to talk about too much, but it's one of the few sins that says it'll keep us out of the kingdom of God. In a list of about 7 or 8, that's one of them. So God knows what's happening. He knows what's taking place. Adultery is unfaithfulness as far as a rightful relationship. And he knows what's happening in the world today. It's not only the adultery that we see in, on the human, it's this spiritual adultery that God is also worried about. Unfaithfulness to Him, unfaithfulness to His purpose. Glory? Those are solemn thoughts, I know, to each one of us, but there is a spiritual idolatry, and it's a spiritual adultery. And that's not the natural area that we're talking about, but that's being unfaithful to God. Not being absolute, not having a relationship with Him, but having a relationship, a mixed relationship with the world around about you, touching your own desires rather than wholeheartedly serving the Lord. He knows what we have need of. There's not one of you that can adorn the lily. He can. There's nobody around here that's adorned like the lily, and He adorns the lily. And He will adorn you. He knows our needs. He knows how to make us beautiful. We're not talking about natural. We're talking about the spiritual beauty that's so important in our lives. Glory.
Amen.
Good to have Brother Campbell with us tonight.